Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martins.
Good evening, my angel friends. This is C.J. Martins and you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, October 26th. Of course, I have a wonderful show for you this evening. My special guest, Asandra, joins me for a wonderful discussion on communicating with our spirit guides. You know, before we came on air here, we were just talking about just the intense experiences that we're having. So I think that this is a wonderful thing to be talking about because certainly there are a lot of divine beings trying to help us on our journey, help us to love ourselves, help us to be able to feel connected. So we'll take callers during the show with topic-based questions or comments for myself or Asandra. Please feel free to call in at 1-877-296-0345. Okay. Well, I always start out with a prayer request, so I'm asking for some pretty intense prayer work, please, for Jeanette's brother. He's really trying to turn his life around, and we just want to ask in our prayers that he have and see him with the acquired, you know, strength and courage to make these positive changes that he needs to. Remember, if you have somebody that needs prayers, I not only put them on the show, but I also include them in my daily prayers as well. So you can reach out to me at my website or Facebook. Well, you know, I was searching always, you know, for the inspiring story. I couldn't talk. Hopefully I can get through this one tonight without getting teary-eyed, but I saw the headline. I said, Good Samaritan credited with saving child from fire. And so I started to read it. And it's all about this 26-year-old woman has some lives, but she's working at a pizza place next door to a house that catches fire. And so a man comes over, he's banging on the door, and he's saying that there's a fire, and this woman is screaming, my son's still in there in the house. And so this 26-year-old that was working at the pizza place acted very promptly, and they're trying to break into the house. The whole back of the house is in flames already. It's moving really fast. And so they all go to the front of the house, and they're trying to get in, and nobody can get in, and the flames are getting worse, and they can hear this little boy. So this 26-year-old literally crawls on her, crawls through this hole, and gets to the boy, and then she just kicks the front door and gets him out. And she, you know, when they talk to her about it, and actually what was interesting is that she saves the boy and leaves, and she later returns to offer the family clothing, things, because they've lost everything in the fire. So this is when they finally get to talk to this woman who acted so quickly. This is what she said. She said that the boy's life was worth more than anything to her. And this was not her child. She said, honestly, yeah, I was willing to die for that child today, even if I just got to him and we could hold each other so he knew he wasn't alone. And then she adds, I know how it feels to bury a child. It's a pain you cannot get over, and I wouldn't want to see any mother feel that pain. And she said she didn't need recognition, just him being able to grab her, you know, through the darkness of the smoke and everything, and letting her know that he was okay. And that's why she left so quickly, but then returned to be more of a good Samaritan. So it was just, wow, what an incredible story, you know. And of course, I include this segment, as you know, those of you that listen every week, because I think it's wonderful when we hear those good stories, those positive stories of people who are in the right place at the right time, just like, you know, just like an angel, which, of course, is why I do this show, because they've graced my life so much. And so without further ado, we do have an angel message this week for October 26th. Dear ones, navigating your daily life can be difficult at the present time, with so many changes and energetic shifts occurring. With so much uncertainty, this week will be a good time to reflect inward and observe the inner workings of your own mind. Ask yourself, how do I deal with uncertainty and change? What fears do I have when I cannot see the next step of my path clearly? How does my body feel when I'm anxiously awaiting some important news? As a human being, it can be difficult to deal with the unknown and unseen, especially when the world as you have known it is rapidly dismantling and rearranging itself on a daily basis. Learning to cope with frequent change is paramount in the coming year. The more you embrace the inner and have inner and outer flexibility, the more you will be able to stay in the daily flow. The intensity of the energetic flow will continue to increase in intensity through the end of this year and the early part of 2013. Many have already acquired a great deal of flexibility since the start of this year. If you do not listen to your own internal messages and heed them, it will definitely create a great deal of anxiety this week over little things that really do not matter in the grander scheme of your life. Only you and your choices limit your ability to ride the wave of tremendous and positive change. The key is to realize what you truly have control over and what you do not. If you can accept those things that you cannot control, then you will see the much bigger version of your inner and external world. You must also be accepting of others who are in tremendous struggle right now. Be prepared for how others are being affected by this huge wave at this time. You may see those that have very little flexibility being intensely challenged right now. They wish to hold on to the old ways, even though everything in their whole entire being is telling them to surrender to spirit instead. They may take these frustrations out on you because they cannot deal or refuse to deal with their own issues. Please permit yourself to not take these events too personally, or you can suffer yourself or take on their pain, which is not your job. Of course, you will have feelings whenever someone blames you for the struggles that are occurring within their inner pain. These feelings are important, but just know in your heart of hearts that they are trying to heal themselves and their issues do not reflect upon you in any way. We are not advocating that you should just deal with whatever others want to try and push on you. You can choose not to interact with people you care about who may be knee-deep in the power struggle between their ego and divine will. Remember, you should always take care of yourself first. We only wish to mention that you can often create negative beliefs about yourself because of someone else's opinion. This part is not necessary for you to take into yourself this week. You will have a wonderful week if you choose wisely about what you will focus your attention on. You have a unique energy and light in the world. You can always determine the beat to which you take your steps. There will be so many right now that are subscribing to control and fear. It's time to choose what direction you will go. Hope for a brighter future with profound belief in new possibilities, or fear of the unknown and doubt of a future with any happy possibilities whatsoever. Trust your inner guidance to lead you correctly, even when others may be trying to go a different direction. Make your own path for others to follow. Know that the angels are with you this week to celebrate your divine spirit and the light that comes from God and flows from your heart. Know that we are only a thought away and will come to help you whenever you ask. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. Wow, we got quite a lot of information this week. Maybe they were making up because I skipped last week's show, actually, to follow the advice of the angels. I had some particular challenges come up for me, and I needed the space to do that, but I did miss everybody a lot because I love doing this show, and I love all of you who listen as well, like my big extended family here. So I want to talk and introduce my guests so that we can get to this wonderful topic, I think, very topical. We search for answers, and we have a lot of divine beings trying to help us. So Asandra is an artist, writer, and metaphysician. She studied painting and design both privately and at the Parsons School of Design in New York City. Asandra's paintings focus on mystical and symbolic themes, exhibiting in solo and group shows in New York, Washington, Florida, Colorado, California, and North Carolina. Her work has even been purchased by several hotel chains, including Marriott Hotels. And she was a featured artist at the Andrews Art Museum in 2008. In 2011, she released her book called Contact Your Spirit Guides. It includes a wealth of information on this topic, but also includes something that we'll talk about a little later in the interview, 24 spirit guidance cards. And I just love it when we have these very simple tools that help us access our own wisdom, of course. And so without further ado, I would love to welcome Asandra to the Angel Connection. Welcome, dear. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm very, very, very glad to have you on the show and to discuss this topic. You know, I work with angels primarily, but there are so many different ways that we can receive communication from our guides. But I'd like to start a little bit about you, you know, and I'd love for you to share with listeners kind of a little bit about when your spiritual journey began, you know, and then that eventually leads you to create the book that I mentioned when I was bringing you on to the show.
Okay, well, I have been, first of all, let me say that I've been channeling for almost 29 years. And however, my spiritual journey started when I was a teenager. So we're going more than 30-something years without telling you exactly how old I am. When I was very young, being the sort of sensitive artist type, I always had this feeling that there wasn't enough love in the world, even though I was in a nice family and there was nothing dysfunctional about it per se. It was just sort of this inner sense of there wasn't enough love in the world. And I don't even know why I felt that way. And so I really began my spiritual search just by looking for deeper meaning. And at some point, somewhere between 15 and 16 years old, I began to have these spontaneous mystical experiences. And they were the kind of experiences that completely alter your reality, in that I began to experience oneness with God. And I really didn't have any background for this. In other words, I was raised in a non-religious family. I didn't have any religious concepts. So the fact that I was experiencing this oneness with God was an absolutely authentic thing. And honestly, it was though my entire universe shifted, and the next thing I know, I was on my path without really having any indoctrinations, initiations, teachings, nothing like that. I just began to be revealed these experiences of oneness. And then about a year later, a spiritual teacher came into my life and revealed a practice to me, which is like a meditation practice, which I still practice to this day. And then about, I don't know how many years later, I began to know my spirit guides, who started first to come to me, mostly because I was asking the universe for a way to serve. I began to feel that I needed to do something in this world that had a deeper meaning. And again, I don't know where that came from. It was just this sense of there was a need for me to somehow give more. And then my guides showed up in my life, showing me this thing called channeling. And the thing is, I never heard of spirit guides before then. I never heard of channeling. It certainly wasn't popular. I didn't understand it at all. So I really had to sort of come into this path in this almost out of left field way. But because the spirit guides were starting to come to me, there was a sense of incredible love from them, incredible wisdom, incredible empathy and compassion. And I knew that although I thought the whole sort of channeling thing was a little bit weird, I knew that there was something really profound in what was coming to me and that it was really my destiny. So I basically didn't resist it at all, and I completely opened myself up to the process and the experience. And sort of that's kind of like the shortened form of what my spiritual journey has been all about.
Well, and I know that we're talking about spirit guides, but as you were describing your experience of just this oneness, you know, having this, just suddenly this event occur, and you start receiving information, because that's very much kind of the process that I've had in my own life as well, where you just have these huge, you know, and it start doing things very very instinctually, or being very much guided to it.
Absolutely.
And then looking around and nobody else is talking your language, you know, it's kind of, you forge your path, you know, it's definitely something that I found very interesting about what you were saying is very similar. And so you were talking about, you know, spirit guides coming in. Back then, what kinds of guides were presenting themselves to you?
Well, all kinds of really interesting beings, and they were all very beautiful. There might be this sort of high priestess that would be doing some initiation to the moon, or there would be some advanced martial arts expert. I mean, there were things I knew nothing about, right? Nothing about, and yet they would come in with incredible authority and incredible brilliance and love and light. So I knew that these were benevolent beings. And because I had been meditating for a number of years, I was very clear about what was the light and what wasn't. So suddenly these beings were just coming in. I think what was happening is that the spirit world was sort of getting me ready to become a medium. And at a certain point when all this was happening, I realized that I needed to get control over this phenomena. And so I was guided to a teacher, a man in New York whose name is Alexander Murray, and he was a well-established medium. And so I took some classes with him so that I could learn really method, technique, basically, so that I could understand the proper way to let them in, the proper way to say goodbye, the proper way to protect myself, and so on. So although I was already doing it, I really needed to know the ins and outs of how do I deal with this whole thing. And that really helped me. And by the time I was done with that class, which was maybe a month or two, I don't even know how long, I was channeling. I was just doing it. The guides, they just really wanted to come through me. And I would say maybe within a year of that, I quit my full-time art director's job in New York. I mean, basically the guides told me it's time to quit. It wasn't really my decision per se. It was sort of like, well, Spirit, when should I start doing this work? And they said, well, we'll tell you when. And then one day I was sitting at my desk working late, and the guides went, quit your job. And then that was it. I just quit. And I really didn't even know how I was going to do this work. I didn't really want to tell anyone about it. I was honestly sort of embarrassed about the whole thing. And then I said to the guides, okay, you know what? Fine. You can use me as a conduit, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it. And I thought, for sure, that will get them off my back, and now they'll go away and leave me alone. But sure enough, people started to come to me. Like, they would just call me up, and maybe they knew that I was practicing this thing, and they'd ask for a little reading. And so it just kind of went from one to the other, and the next thing I knew, I was doing little groups, and then I was doing big groups, and then I was doing little private consultations. And eventually it was just time to go and do the work full-time, and that's really, ever since then, I've been doing it full-time.
Well, and I really appreciate your honesty. I think, you know, because certainly it's been, without giving away your age, of course, but, you know, it's been a number of years that pretty early, I think, in a lot of the shift that's happened over the last, especially 15 years and things like that. And it's like, I'm quitting my job to do what, you know, and it takes a lot of courage, I think, just to flow with that like you did, to be able to just, you know, even if you're not comfortable maybe sharing with everybody that you know, because they're probably going, why are you quitting your job? And you're like, I don't know.
Didn't get any support. I'll be honest with you. Nobody around me in my life went, yay, that's a good idea. Because I had a really good job, okay? I had a very prestigious art director's job for a prestigious art magazine in New York City. And you're going to leave that to do what? I mean, nobody thought that was great. And honestly, the rational mind would say you're crazy. And even then I had a salary, so now I'm going into I don't know how I'm going to make money. But it was I was so impelled. I can't even begin to tell you. It was like, this is what you're here to do. So I was so clear in my being. I was so confident in my being that this is where my destiny was taking me, that I had no hesitation and no doubt, and I just totally went for it.
Well, and I'm a similar person, so, and I know it's difficult, like when we talk about, you know, just having that kind of a peak experience that I often talk about, where there is this oneness with God, and there's also such, like you said, just such a compelling knowing, is what you're describing to me, of just knowing that that's, even though rationally it makes no sense, but you know, and there's a peace with that, right? You felt a tremendous peace with it, the knowing.
The rational mind at that point was like a whiny little child. And the impelling inner soul was like this vibrant force of good in the universe.
I understand that. Yeah, no, I understand that because we do deal with both of those aspects, certainly, for especially when they just kind of, like you said, just sort of tapped you one day and it's time to get going. Well, you know, I really appreciate your story. I know that a lot of people have these experiences. It's difficult for them to wrap the rational mind around those things. But let's get into some greater depth about spirit guides. And I think what was wonderful about, you know, you finding your teacher, I had a similar teacher that I found at exactly the right time because I knew how to do things didn't necessarily have all the nuts and bolts and all of that. But I think it's very important to really begin with, especially for people who are really opening to this communication, mm-hmm. because in this polar world, you know, we have all these wonderful divine beings, but there's an equal amount, if not sometimes feels like more, of dark energies, dark beings who can really kind of masquerade. So I don't want to put fear in people, but I think that if you could share what you personally recommend as far as when you're, like you said, opening and closing these sessions, trying to do the communication, I think that would be the most valuable place, you know, for us to start for the listeners. So.
Well, I just want to say, even though we haven't really gotten to the book, the whole reason why I wrote this book is to lay it out in plain English, and it's really written in lay terms, the ABCs of how to work with our guides, how to recognize a benevolent energy, how to open ourselves, how to protect ourselves, how to recognize spirit guides, how to discern between what is your mind or what is a negative energy and what's a positive frequency. So I've really laid it out there. But let me also say that one of the primary ways that you can know that a being, a spirit guide, is really a guide is because you feel touched in your heart, because you feel it. And, you know, someone can come in, let's just say maybe there's some negative energy out there. It's going to tell you something that you think you want to hear. Maybe. I don't know. But when it's really a spirit guide, you feel touched. There's some part of your being that resonates so profoundly that it's beyond your mind and it's beyond any kind of limited thinking. So it reaches a part of our consciousness that already is aligned with that level of awareness. Because the thing that we have to remember is that we also are this ascended consciousness. We also are this expanded awareness. And so when a true spirit guide is with us, they don't speak to our mind, our ego, our physical identity, our beliefs, or our ideas. They talk right to our soul. And so if a guide is talking to your soul, they are reaching to a place that is eternal. And the eternal part of us immediately resonates, so much so that you get that expansive yes in your being. So there's no argument with that. And that's really, honestly, that's how you know. So for me, when my guides came in, it was like the first time I ever went to another medium. It was my first experience with spirits. And except that that's not really true. They used to talk to me, but I didn't really understand that these were spirits. I didn't know what was going on. So the first time I went to a medium, my master guides came through him, and they talked to me. And it was as though my soul had a voice and was speaking through this medium. And it blew me away. I could not believe that they knew me so profoundly well at the deepest levels. So a lot of times when people come to me as a medium and they talk to these guides that are their guides, they have that similar experience where the guides are going in and they really know the essence of that person. Not their mind, not their thoughts, not their fears, but the pure energy in their soul that really wants to express itself in this life. So one of the ways we recognize our spirit guides, whatever type of guide that they may be, because there are many types, as you know, but that guide will know you at the deepest soul level. So it's not that they know what you had for breakfast, because that's not relevant. It's that they really know who we are as a true essence. And so when you're having that kind of experience with a spirit guide, there's no contesting it. You are resonating so deeply in your being. And that's basically how you know it's true.
Right. And I think that's really how we know. And, you know, another type of, like a dark being or something trying to influence you, they are speaking to your mind,
exactly.
Often your pride. You know, they're feeding your
exactly.
ego. Like you said, maybe telling you what you want to hear is a very different experience than our oneness with Source, with God. You know, that feeling in the heart. You know, and I had a guide for a while that actually was dear, like, brother that I'd known in another lifetime. And we had quite a rapport together. In fact, he would be at work with me, and people would walk in, and he liked to make jokes about people as they walked in the door. I mean, and so we'd have a good laugh and things like that. So we never really know when we have these kind of agreements, you know, with other beings and kind of our soul family.
Right.
And so, you know, getting into sort of the discussion, of course, about what types of guides can be just about any, you know, being other realms. I mean, what are some of the ones that come to mind for you?
Well, again, I lay it out very clearly in the book, but the main type of guides that are our teachers are called master spirit guides. And a master is someone who has excelled in some subject. They usually have developed an enormous amount of wisdom and awareness, usually through living a lot of lifetimes. And they're not all-knowing, they don't profess to be God, but they're masters. So they're the guides that teach us on our path. So they're showing us the way, but they're bringing the guidance. So one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about spirit guides is that they think the guide's going to come in and tell you what to do with your life. It's not quite like that. They're bringing you guidance because as you were saying earlier, sometimes we have to deal with the shadow aspects. Not even sometimes. We do have to deal with the shadow aspects.
Yeah.
So the guides are going to come in, and they're going to see where we are blocking ourselves. They're going to see where we are interrupting the flow of our path. And part of the higher guidance is not just saying, oh, you're going to do this, and this is fabulous and all that. It's also saying, okay, but over here you may have some area where you're blocking yourself, and this is how you can move through it, and this is what you can do about it. So they see the whole picture of what we need to move through. And this is generally, personally, what I channel are usually master guides. The master guide that is working with that individual I'm channeling for are usually the type of spirits that come through because they have the teachings and higher guidance. But like you said, there's also angels, which are, of course, remarkable and loving and wonderful beings. And there are, for example, pathfinders, which help us find the very material things that we need in our life. So those are sort of the practical kind of spirit guides. They help us find, like, say you're looking for a new home. They're helping you find your way to that in a very material way. And there are so many, and there are teachers that just come in with different things that we might need to learn and so forth and so on. There are all kinds of spirit guides that work with us. So basically, we become aware of what we need, what the roles of these different guides are, but essentially their nature has to be loving. And that's the common thing with all of them. They have to really understand who we are as beings and be loving and be wise.
Well, and exactly. I totally agree with you. And I think even with some of the tremendous, especially within the last couple of years, you know, I've had a number of experiences where, yes, I primarily communicating every day, all the time, you know, with the seraphim. But I find now, and I'm wondering if this is true for you as well, is just an interesting thing for listeners, is that I have had other groups of beings contact me or make contact to do specific things because of a certain, like being a channel, being able to channel some, or, you know, where I may have never had any connection to those beings, like, for instance, the Arcturians, which are a fifth dimensional being. And so there are, you know, other kinds of groups that'll be like, oh, can we, would you please do this for us? We know that, you know, you can get this message across. And so I've had a number of unusual, you know, experiences for me, especially over the last couple of years, because it's so, if you could just, you know, lift that veil for the people out there listening, you know, and just see all of the beings that are really working the planet right now. It's amazing.
And the thing is, they will avail themselves of anyone who's really open and receptive. So you being obviously very receptive, perhaps that Arcturian group were saying, well, you know, we'd like to utilize you as a vehicle. And that does happen, that even people that I've been channeling for, let's say, for almost the entire time I've been working, because some of my clients go that far back, every so often they may get a new guide that comes in that has a new level of information because that the person, the client, is evolving, and so they attract in different levels of spirits as they are moving along on their path, and that's not unusual. So I find that over time, even in my own experience working professionally as a channel, that over time the spirits that have come through me, every so often it seems like there's a changing of the guard, and there's like a new level.
I called it that before.
Spirit.
That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I've called
and they sort of like a new level, a new frequency comes in because we as a collective are ready for the next level of information. So that when I first started channeling, it still was this kind of funny little thing that people were into, and so people were really into more of the showy type of spirit guides, like Jay-Z Knight and Ramtha. You know, that was one of the earlier ones. It was very popular.
Very early, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, I was around for that, you know. And so people mm-hmm. like to have the – so when I was channeling for groups, some of these big showy guides would come in, you know, because everyone liked – those were like the crowd pleasers, I like to call them.
Yeah.
But over time, you know, I started to say to the guides, okay, enough, you know. I don't want to do that anymore. I just really want the higher guidance. And so – in a way, the people that were really open to the higher levels of wisdom and were really attuned at that level became more of my clients. And so I was able to bring in this more of a refined level of spirit teaching and guidance. So over time, I see more and more of that happening. And it makes sense to me. I mean, we're evolving. Our consciousness is evolving. So we're allowing in more and more higher levels of spirit wisdom to come in.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And when you said changing of the guard, everyone is so interconnected, guys. You know, just like Asandra and I, you know, it's like even using similar terms and stuff. It's with people that I have read for, especially over the last year, you know, there are those kind of tried and true angels, guides that are with them throughout their lifetime. But there, as you mentioned, you know, are specific guides that come in with, like you said, specific frequency may not be there for different times, or everything just sort of switches up. But I've seen that with a lot of people that I've read for, that they just all of a sudden they're at a transition point, they're evolving, and now they have a whole new set of guides that takes
exactly.
them into a completely different
exactly.
experience.
And sometimes people go, well, where's so-and-so? You know, where's my guide so-and-so? And the spirits will say, don't worry, so-and-so's still here. But we have come in to tell you something from a new level. And a lot of times, because I'm the medium, I know that shift is a very, for me, it's very tangible, because I can feel another frequency. I can literally feel there's another level coming in. And it's so incredible. Even after all these years of channeling, I am still astounded and amazed at the brilliance and magnificence of this spirit world, of the higher spirit world, I want to say. It still blows me away, because I cannot believe how profound the information can be. And you would think after all these years it would be like same old, but it isn't, because we are expanding. We're moving into new dimensions of consciousness. And that's what's really happening right now. We're moving into expansion of our awareness. And so we're getting this new level of information because we're slowly able to take it in. And it's really kind of astounding in a way.
Well, I'm with you. I think that rather than things becoming old hat, you know, 13 years since the seraphim showed up in my bedroom, I'm actually more in awe as time progresses, I think, even than I was back then. Not that that wasn't a life-changing, life-altering experience, but
right.
Just the seeing the people around me shifting and changing, seeing the new concepts and ideas and creativity even and all of these things awakening in people all over. And just, yeah, I had this profound experience just a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like it just brought me to my knees in a good way. Just like, oh, I was so ecstatic and so profoundly, the love is something that is just indescribable. And so I'm like you. I think I get more in awe every week now because everything's moving so quickly. So much is shifting in such a positive way. So it gives me, you know, I'm just, everybody out there that's listening knows I'm like, I am the hopeful cheerleader. You know, it's like, we're mm-hmm. doing great. We're doing wonderful, you know. And of course, those naysayers are like, well, look at this. What's happening? And this is happening. I was like, I don't care that this and this is happening. It's, you know, and it's the higher frequencies. And this is what I also tell people a lot is that all living systems entrain themselves to the higher frequency, right? So,
yeah.
That is true in our culture, society, everything. And so we are all healers. So the more we raise our vibration, you know, everything is going to try to move into that higher frequency. So even if we have such a polarity in this world, we don't need everyone being in the place like, you know, a lot of people, myself, you, we just have to keep going. You know, those of us that
but that's
are
what we're here to do. We are here to wake up, and the polarization in the world is the breaking down of the old realities, and that's what people who are still stuck in it don't understand. They're still there in their minds, in their attachments, in their associations. They haven't let go of that reality yet, and I understand that people would be afraid to do so because it's the only thing they've known. But again, this is one of the ways that our spirit guides are enormously helpful because they help us to see the way, even if they have to be so gentle and so patient with us, to see the way.
Oh, they're patient, all right.
Yes, they are. That's one of the things that blows me away is the level of patience that spirits have. I mean, they always say, when a client will say, oh, thank you, spirit, for being so patient, they'll go, I have all the time in the world, you know.
Well,
like for them, it's eternal. So they have to be patient with us because we're learning a new way. We are learning to come into our ascended consciousness, and this is a process. And part of the process is letting go of the stuckness and the belief in the limited reality. So one of the things that our spirit guides do is they sort of hold our hand through every little baby step we take to waking up to really what is our ascended path, to our true path, our path where we really recognize ourselves as that eternal expression in this life. And that's what's happening. We're in this time of great evolution of human consciousness. And during that time, there's the breaking down of the old realities. So when people just focus on what's breaking down, then of course they're going to be terrified or unhappy. But if you can quiet the mind, tune in, and if you like, I'm not saying you should or have to, but you can also call on your spirit guides to assist you in that process, which is a wonderful thing to do. And then we begin to get that warm feeling of, oh, there is a loving presence that really knows me, that's really supporting me, that's holding my hand through this, that's showing me the way. And so when we understand that we have these wonderful, beautiful, loving spirit guides, there's a sense of comfort that comes in where you can relax and you can say, oh, I am really being guided. And that guidance is impeccable. It's never going to fail me. It's never going to leave me. It's always going to show me the way. But it doesn't show us the way because it tells us what to do. It shows us the way because it shows us who we really are. And the more that we trust our own essence and our own higher self, and the more we align with that, the more we become free, ultimately we become free. And I think that's what we are achieving right now as an awakening humanity, if you will.
Well, and I totally agree. And you touched on, you know, moving into, you know, for the listeners out there, maybe this is a new topic. I know we have a lot of people that they communicate all the time with their spirit guides, but certainly, you know, as far as beginning, and I think your book sounds like, you know, and I've such a wonderful, you know, grounded XYZ, everything from, you know, all the way through. But you mentioned, you know, obviously, if we want to open to that type of guidance, obviously, we've even already touched on some of these things. You know, it's about trusting, you know, quieting our mind,
yes,
slowing down, you know. And what other things would you add to that list?
Well, I think it's very important to have quiet time and to not be leading with our minds. You know, those sort of mentations where we're constantly worried, you know, and constantly trying to figure it all out, because you're never going to get the answer that way, the true answer that way. So it's about, you know, in order to quiet down, whether you do it through meditation or a walk in nature or whatever you do, to quiet down actually requires trust. Because when people are panicked or anxious about life, they sort of do the opposite. They start panicking more, because then they try to figure out how to get out of the panic. And really what's required is quite the opposite, so that when we slow down and we quiet down, and then we get sort of a prayerfulness in our heart, and not a begging the universe for salvation, but a prayerfulness as in, I now open my heart to the universe to guide me, and I call in my beautiful and loving spirit guides to work with me, and I open myself to receive the way, the guidance, the synchronicity, the inspiration. So one thing that I personally do is every single morning, without fail, the minute I'm awake, I go into my calling in my spirit guides. You know, first I call in the infinite, that infinite consciousness that some people call God, and I call that in. I call in the light, and then I invite in all my spirit guides, and I know many of their names, so I invite them personally by name, because why not? They like an invitation. And I ask them to be with me, and I ask that I can be open to, you know, loving and higher guidance. So that's the very first thing I do every single day. And then I might ask for very specific things I need help with at that time or support in at that time. So I say to people, if you do nothing else, begin your day calling in that energy. Because why start your day without really inviting in the highest level of love, support, and guidance? I never start a day without doing that, because I feel like that would be like running out into the street naked. You know, you'd feel like vulnerable. You know?
I like that. I like that. But it is
so
true.
That's really how I start my day. And then if you have time to meditate or do some prayer or do whatever else, great. If not, at least do that, and at least ask your guides to be with you in that day, and to make it a beautiful day and make it a flowing day. And I tell you something, that sounds really simple, but I would challenge anyone to try one day, like say a busy day at work, crazy day, you have to get on the road and travel and traffic and whatever. Try one day and not calling for any guidance and see what happens. And then try the next day and call it in first and see what happens. And I
wow.
would almost bet that you will have a very, very different experience just by focusing your consciousness in that very precise attunement. It makes a huge difference, because your intention is, now I'm making this connection. I'm doing the same things, but I'm doing it with a consciousness that this connection is present in my life. And that one little thing will make a huge difference in the quality of your day.
I think that's a great challenge to the listeners, actually, because
yes,
it is so true.
To do it.
Well, and we don't, I think, understand sometimes how important setting that intention is, how powerful our intention, you know, like you said, if we're just, we wake up and go, oh, need my coffee, got to do this, got to do that, oh, no, I'm running late, and we just go, boom, again, like you said, it's
exactly.
kind of like running out.
Throw yourself,
you know, when
into
we
the
already
madness.
Yeah, and so let's just jump in, you know, with everyone else. And, You know, it's something that just occurred to me, and I may not have prepped in questions, but it kind of moves more into, you know, maybe obstacles. But, you know, like for you being a channel, you know, that dialogue coming from the spirit realm, you know, from the guidance that you may be channeling for others or hearing yourself, not everybody has that kind of a channel. And, of course, sometimes people say it's difficult to distinguish between, you know, it's my own inner dialogue, you know, because, you know, guides often aren't communicating in an audible way unless that's a particular gift that you have. And the other thing is when we call in that help, we have to also pay attention, right? Because sometimes the answers come in different ways than we think,
yes,
too.
This is true. It can be something synchronous that happens. It could be a sudden inspiration. It could be just an inner knowing, a sort of gut feeling, that kind of thing. But I give this one example all the time, and it's also in the book. And this is just one way to discern between what's your thought and what's spirit talking to you. So let's say you're thinking one day, well, you know, I really want to go and get an ice cream. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get some ice cream. And, you know, so you're thinking about it. And then you think, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to bother. I don't feel like doing that. So you change your mind. That's your thought. You can change it. But when, let's say you're feeling it, you're sensing it, or even hearing it, either way, there's that impression that comes in, whether it's an actual sound that you hear or just a feeling. When it comes in and it's spirit guidance, you could try to change it 1,000 ways, and you will not be able to do it. Your own thought, you could change your mind. No, I don't feel like getting ice cream. I'm not going to do it. And that's good enough. But when it's spirit impelling us in a certain direction, it's still there. And it will remain there until we pay attention to it. And that's really the difference. And it's not even if you hear it or don't hear it. Sometimes it's a feeling. Sometimes people will say, well, I always get this feeling. And then they ignore it. But that feeling is that urging from the spirit world trying to get in and tell us something. So when we begin to listen to it, it gets louder. You know, it's as simple as that. And it doesn't change. Basically, they're going to send a message our way until we pay attention. So I often say to people, when my guides give me an impression or a message, I respond immediately. And people will say to me, that's amazing that you do that. And I say, well, why should I waste any time, you know, arguing with it? It's not going to go away. I might as well just respond. And that's what I do. I just go, all right, fine, I'm going with it.
Well, you know, and I think that there were times certainly on my path that I was kicking and screaming. And after a while, you know, it is kind of a moot point. You're like, why waste time?
Because you're not going to
inevitably
win that argument.
never. You know, not with your higher self or spirit guides or anything. But I think that something that you said a couple different times too is, you know, it's a feeling. And so when I look at the human experience, and you know, and as we learn to not suppress our emotions, as we are learning to, you know, heal things, obviously, that maybe we stuffed somewhere, you know, as we can accept our feelings too, I think as a part of this communication process, if we're just naturally a person who, I'm kind of angry, but before I can even feel anger or feel that emotion, it's gone. You know, we just go boom and sort of shut it down. And so a lot of this communication does come from, you know, I just have this feeling. And I like that you have brought that up tonight because, like you said, it's very heart-based, the connection. It's a feeling. It's very natural rather than like your own mind trying to wrestle with something or change your mind, like you said. It's inside of us. It's such a profound part of us, this ability to focus like a tuner receiver to this or that energy. We all have that ability. And so as we're healing ourselves, you know, it's really our emotional spectrum. It's pretty important.
You know, I really think that it's very important now to have that trust in the higher path. And I think this is one of the things that people really struggle with a lot. Again, bringing it up like before, that letting go of the struggle and trusting the path. Because we're shifting into a new way of being, a new paradigm, if you will. And that new way is about effortless effort. It's not about struggle. But we're so used to struggling. We're so accustomed to that. And everybody struggles, and we think it's a necessary part of life, but it isn't. And it's very important to have that quieting down of the mind, to let go of trying to figure something out, and then allowing the guidance to come in. And at first, it's very subtle. So you just have to practice quiet. It's like if a person is trying to get in touch with their guides when they're in a desperate moment, but they haven't been in the habit of getting in touch, they're going to find it very difficult because their mind is screaming at them. So if you just make an effort every single day to get in touch, at least in the smallest way, then when you do have a big issue you're wrestling with, then your channel, your internal channel, if you will, is open, so that the guidance can now reach you. And so suddenly there might be this amazing guidance that blows you away. You didn't expect it. And it becomes a revelation and a breakthrough. So when we're staying in touch, it's like we're really living more and more in this higher way, a more evolved way. So I keep feeling like trust is a very important, it's almost like a thread, that if we can keep trusting the process, we can keep trusting the wisdom that is there, we can keep trusting that there's a higher way to be and know that we can go more and more deeply into that, then all of that wisdom just starts to come in and it becomes more and more organic. So we're not trying to get the information. We're not struggling to figure it all out because now we're living more and more in that frequency. And I think that's also an important part of this, is that it's not like some little thing you do on the side when you're suddenly having a bad day. It's that you're now living with that higher guidance. You're calling it in all the time, and you're living that more and more of a guided life, and it becomes more and more integrated.
And you know, that's true. When I first started communicating, with the angels, and I'd had spirit communication really, you know, my whole life in one way or the other. It's like first it's kind of outside yourself, way out over here, and then all of a sudden it's just very much becomes, with practice and doing and all of that, you know, very integrated, as you said. I'm appreciating this conversation. It's so rich, and I appreciate all the wisdom that you bring, have brought tonight. Such a wonderful, rich discussion, which I truly love that you've come on the show. I can't believe it goes by so quick. See, we were a half hour for a long time. But I want you to explain and talk certainly about your wonderful book and the spirit guidance cards, the tools that are with it. So I want you to share about that.
Yes. Well, contact your spirit guides, which is published by Schiffer. Easiest place to get it, by the way, is Amazon, but you can always go to your bookstore, local bookstore, or Barnes & Noble, and ask them to order it. Basically, this book is comprehensive. I decided when I wrote this book, it was going to have everything in it. So I really am going from A, B, C, D. I'm telling you how to do it, different methods, what types of guides there are, how to prepare your environment, your psychological approach, everything. And intertwined with the book are channeled essays. So after each chapter are three short channeled essays just for inspiration. Now, when I was working on the book and I got to the deadline, my spirit guide suddenly said to me, design an oracle to go with the book. And I kind of went, oh, my God, what? You know, what are you talking about? How do I do that? So I started working with my guides, and as you know, I'm a trained artist, so I designed these 24 spirit guidance cards, and there is a layout and a method, which is in the book, so it all comes complete. They're not like tarot cards, and they're not predictive. What they are is they're a method just to help you to, let's say, ask a question or ask for some guidance on a subject. So it's not a predictive question. It's maybe I need guidance on such and such an issue, or what's my card for the day, or whatever it is. And then you call on your spirit guides, and then you would use the layout, or you would do one card for the day. So it's only, the layout is only four cards. It's very basic, because I'm really assisting the individual in becoming more intuitive and in their ability to work with their guides more. So it's a very simple process, but you can actually get some pretty profound information from it. So it's a fun method. I really enjoyed creating the cards, and I think it makes the book a little bit more special because you walk away with not only the how-to and the inspiration, but actually this fun thing you can play with at the end of the day.
I think that is wonderful. And so if people, obviously you said it's on Amazon.com, also on the show page, you know, this evening is a link to your website as well. And so what's the best way if somebody wanted to contact you for work or to get the book, for people to get a hold of you before I let you go?
I would say theguidedpath.net. I have a few websites, but that's going to be the easier one to find me on, about channeling and to learn about the book, theguidedpath.net.
Well, Sandra, it has been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much
love
for
to
having
have you,
me.
I'd love to have you back at another time.
I'd love to come back.
So I appreciate your time this evening, and thank you for all the wonderful work you do,
and
I look forward to staying connected with you. Thank
Absolutely,
you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Wow, what a wonderful, and I mean, you know, I kind of get my own little idea about what the show is going to be like, you know, and wow, it just turns into be something incredible. And I understand somebody has been patiently awaiting a reading here that I'd like to bring her on. Welcome to the Angel Connection, Dee. Hello.
Hello. Mute. I've been listening, actually, so thank you.
Hello. I wanted to get you in here. I know you've been waiting, and what can I help you with this evening? Hello. Oh, no, we lost her. Dee, I'm sorry that we lost you. Okay. Things like that happen, sometimes divine timing, you know, and some things that Sandra and I were discussing for everybody out there. We are in just on an incredible journey right now where we have to trust and we need to open to these very inherent abilities we really do have. You know, I think that when we were a much more natural society, you know, I know there's been a huge movement back to nature, growing our own food, all of these things. It's because there's a part of us that we've kind of left behind. And so to me, what we do in quieting our mind, setting our intention, all of these things, and all of the wonderful guides that help us along the way, right? And what we do for other people when we give ourselves permission to surrender, to be all that we can be, I guess, to borrow a phrase anyway, when we can be all that we can be, then we become also like those spirit guides, mirroring the magnificence of others to those around us. So it really is like we're all angels, and I love being a part of the process of growth and change in the people around me, with clients, with family, with friends. They teach and communicate so much to me each and every day. And I'm excited because we've got some great shows coming up, and I hope Dee will contact me for that short reading since she dropped. I'm so sorry that happened, but maybe it just wasn't time. I've learned also to accept timing on things, guys, because certainly I can have an idea how things should go, but I'll tell you what, maybe it gets rearranged and that's okay, and we have to learn to be flexible, as the angels were saying to each of us in the angel message, flexibility and allowing and just letting our lives unfold. So next week I've got Deb Ritter, good friend of mine, incredible story. And so topic is imagine moving free. And I like that. Doesn't that feel good? Let's all imagine ourselves moving freely through the course of our life so that, you know, we can connect and be free to be ourselves, not what we think we should be, which will be wonderful for everybody just to be moving free. So Deb's going to come and really inspire us next week on all of our journeys. So And then we've got some other wonderful shows coming up. Jerome Braggs, who on Healing from Within, the Energy of Belief is coming up. Mary Slice has agreed to come to the show. So hope you all will tune in next week and the weeks beyond as I share the love of the angels with each of you. Until then, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourselves so that you can become an angel to others. I love you. Take care and have a blessed week. Thank you.